Four Midwest Guys presents WrestleMania Reaction.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents WrestleMania 2016 Reactions. With me today is the Dirty Jay-Z.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. And as always, myself, B. Willie. We're a little short today. Your wife, Steph, couldn't be with us, and Mr. Rankenbauer has a new job. So it's the B. Willie and Dirty Jay-Z show for you tonight.
Poor woman couldn't, 7 hours of WrestleMania. I mean, she practically fell asleep, so yeah, I can't blame her.
Yeah, talk about a marathon session.
Jeez, God, WWE, what are you doing to us with this crap? You start the pre-show at like 6 o'clock, and is this going on to midnight now? I mean, seriously, what the hell, guys?
Yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy amount of wrestling. In fact, it was so long, we missed the first match, even though we tuned in like couple minutes after 6.
Right, and that was the Kalisto Ryback match, which right. Kalisto has retained the championship there, so.
So there you go, that's about all we can say about
that. That's about all we can say. You know, we're not gonna like sit here and pretend we actually watched the show when we didn't, or we missed that, but.
Right.
Yeah, we ended up kicking in like, I almost want to say it was like halfway through the 10 Divas matchup, or.
I don't know, 5-on-5? Quite that far. I think we were maybe. They were maybe a third of the way through by the time we tuned in.
Yeah, by the time like the network update and everything and our Xbox update and everything kicked in, we tuned in, and next thing we know, there's Paige getting like just completely pounded on by Tamina for God knows how long.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. You know, this match was okay for a Divas match.
I mean,
it was at least, you know, it wasn't like the hair pulling slap fight. It was at least entertaining to a certain degree,
and I think coming in like halfway through, it's kind of hard to kind of grade the match, because you know, we don't know how long it drug out, we don't know if it like overstayed its welcome or how everyone performed. I mean, I hate to say it, thankfully I didn't see Eva Marie perform at all throughout this whole thing, so I don't know if she completely sucked or how that worked, but but in the end, Brie made Naomi tap out using Daniel Bryan's yes lock.
Yeah. Nice little homage to Daniel Bryan there. She also used his yes kicks as well. So, otherwise, yeah, it was an okay match.
Yeah,
nothing to write home about. But
nope.
But it could have been a heck of a lot worse. So
it was definitely a pre-show match. I'll say that.
Yeah. All right, Johnny. What was our next match?
Next one, we had the Usos versus Dudley match.
Okay, this was fairly entertaining for Usos Dudley. I won't say it was, again, like the last match wasn't over the top or anything, but it did have the Usos won, and then you had the Dudleys try to put them through a table at the end, and the Usos reversed it on them. So, other than the fact that I think they're starting to job the Dudleys a little too much here lately, other than that, that's really my only complaint. It was a typical tag team match. Status quo. Again, probably not worthy of WrestleMania, but.
Oh, I think we're going to see a lot of status quo as these matches go on tonight.
But for a pre-show match, I could let it slide.
Yeah. But in the end, that's the last of the pre-show matches as we kick off WrestleMania 32 and go straight into the Intercontinental Title Ladder Match, the 7-man match, which. That was actually one hell of a match. That is a great way to kick off WrestleMania.
I agree. A lot of high energy, a lot of momentum. It looked like everybody was putting their all into this match. It wasn't like anybody was holding back. They knew it was WrestleMania, and they knew it was a ladder match, and you saw that. I have no complaints. There were some very cool moves done in that ladder match.
We had the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens rivalry kicking off there. I mean, it was. We had Sin Cara actually pulling off some legitimately cool moves there.
Yeah, maneuvers.
Stardust pulled out
the Stardust one was the cool one, yeah.
Yeah, he pulled out a black ladder with like a yellow polka dots on it as a nod to his dad.
Didn't get anywhere with it, but it was still pretty cool.
It was funny to watch Owens like just throw it out of the ring, you know?
Yeah, and also it was fun to see Stardust. He was kind of laying between the ring and we call it the perimeter fence, and
oh right.
And they ended up getting somebody like jumped off and hit him split in the middle.
Yeah.
Bent the thing in two. But it was, that was cool. So, yeah, very high action. But a nice surprise here in the end. Zack Ryder getting the victory. Yeah. Finally getting a little bit of a push, finally, maybe.
Yeah, thankfully. I was reading somewhere, like, going through some of the tweets or going through whatever while watching the match, and someone was saying that, you know, if it wasn't for Neville's injury, that might have been something for Neville there. But
yeah,
who knows? But it's good to see Zack Ryder getting a push. I mean, how long has this poor guy been benched or, like, forced to, like, completely job for how many years? And, like, you see him, like, we don't even see him get an entrance on Raw sometimes. Like, he's just there, shows up, gets beaten, that's it. But, now here he is winning the Intercontinental match. And, yeah, I mean, it's good to see him back after, like, having, like, a good start.
But he's got the charisma and he's got the pull with the audience. And if they do it right, he has the potential. I'm not saying he is, but he has the potential to become the next Daniel Bryan. So, I think.
Let's hope so.
Because they could definitely use that in their repertoire.
Oh, the other thing, too, is I hope Kevin Owens is actually okay, because for a while there at the end, he was not moving. Like, his head disappeared, like, in between, like, the steps of one of the ladders, and that guy was not moving for a while.
I'm just hoping that was a legitimate sell and that he really isn't hurt. Because if he was hurt, that's negligence on WWE's
part. Oh, my God. That's the last thing WWE needs right now is another injury.
Well, yeah, and the fact that you just left the guy with his head down.
Yeah.
he looked like he was headless just laying into the ladder. But I think he was okay. So.
All right, so going into our next match, we get the continued rivalry of AJ Styles and Y2J, which,
letdown. That's the best I can describe this match as letdown.
Huh? You know, I mean, the thing is the match had some good energy. I mean, these two are, you know, they're really exciting to watch, you know, play off each other or fight off each other, but it's a rivalry that has just been so badly handled. I mean, at one point it's over, and then they become tag partners, and the tag partnership only lasts a week, and then suddenly it was just way too forced. I mean, it would have been a great match. It probably would have been the most memorable match had it not been something that we'd already seen before. And in the end, it's Y2J that gets the win.
Well, not only that, the heel Y2J, which, I'll be honest, I like Y2J a lot better as a face than as a heel. He's okay, but he's just not nearly as good. I mean, he's better at telling people off. I guess if it was the Attitude Era kind of a thing, he'd probably be better at the heel. But,
well, and to top it off, too, I mean, this whole thing since, you know, the Royal Rumble was the fact that AJ Styles has come out, and everybody's been really excited about that. And who did they decide to give the win to here? I mean, what does this do?
I think, unfortunately, I think it means the rivalry continues, although I think it's been beat like a dead horse.
It really has.
And forced down our throat at the same time, and therefore, I have no vested interest in either one of them fighting again, but it looks like that's probably what's going to happen.
I just
hope they throw something into it to at least make it interesting, other than another wrestling match.
Well, I wonder if that's going to be a trend we're going to see as the rest of the night goes on. Mm-hmm. And moving into our next match was one I'm pretty sure you were excited for, with the New Day versus the League of Nations.
Well, we all know I'm not a fan of New Day.
But you gotta admit, that entrance was pretty cool.
The giant, they came out to a giant box of bootios,
which dumped over on the side, giant, you know,
bootios.
Giant cereal pieces come out. And the New Day come out dressed up as Saiyans.
Yeah, as from Dragon Ball Z, as if you got a toy out of a cereal pack. So, hats off on whoever's writing their material. It is getting a little bit better. It is a little bit funny, I gotta admit. Even for me, who is very annoyed by New Day. But it's funny. It's funny, I guess. So.
Yeah, this is sad to say on my end, this is a match that my wife and I, we had to, you know, put our 2-year-old to sleep, so... We missed kind of, like, what happened.
The match itself was fairly boring, I'll be honest, just because League of Nations won, and number one and number two, it's League of Nations, and anytime League of Nations wrestles, I don't know, I find them lackluster as a heel group, or as any kind of a gang. Or,
yeah, you think JBL constantly reminding us that it's like the Four Horsemen.
Right, or, they really could use some help. as far as writing and just trying to make them into a better heel group. They're just like a gang of thugs that just happens to be from around the world. It's the United Nations gone bad. I don't know.
It's kind of a... Well, it's just... And the personality they have, too. I mean, individually, Del Rio at one point was like a legitimately great villain. Like, we would see him come out with like these six-figure cars and everything, and he would just be like the guy that you would love to hate. I mean, he was a technically great wrestler, too. He still is. And, you know, Rusev at one point was this unstoppable force. I mean, mm-hmm. he was this guy that was like unbeat for God knows how long, and, you know, somewhere along the lines that got lost and he just kept losing all the time. And then we have who else? Oh God, we have Sheamus, which
Sheamus. There's another character who's better as a face than he is a heel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was really good when he first came into the WWE as a heel, and, mm-hmm. but this is a much more lackluster Sheamus and a lackluster group. There's no reason for me to fear these guys when they come out.
No. Hell, when the New Day are scoring jokes that, you know, make you like the New Day.
Yeah.
That's telling you something about the League of Nations right there. It's just...
But the true highlight of this was once the match is over, League of Nations wins. They come out and they start running their mouths and say, there's no other three-man group out there that can possibly beat us. And suddenly you have a nice WrestleMania moment. They throw us a bone and they give us...
We hear eight...
You hear not just let's see who they start with.
We hear HBK's music come out.
Heartbreak Kid.
And oh yeah, there he is, wrestling gear, and he does the double finger point to the other stage when you hear the car crash. It's Mick Foley.
Awesome. And then you're like, who's the third person? You hear the bottle break. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Just soaking in everybody. This is a moment that just makes you happy to watch WrestleMania.
And not only was it nice just to see them out, but they actually went to the ring and did their finishing move
and
on
beat the hell out of League of Nations. Yes, it was great.
It was awesome. It was, and they got
audiences out there giving middle fingers like Stone Cold, or like Stone Cold's chugging beer in the ring. I mean, it was a moment that just made you reminded you why you enjoy watching wrestling,
because we saw Socko.
Yeah, oh, we saw Mr. Socko too. Back. Yeah.
You know, you got to see the Stone Cold Stunner. Yep. You know, you got to see, Chin Music.
Sweet Chin Music.
It was nice to see them allow them to be themselves, you know, as paying tribute to, you know, their legends, obviously. Yep. And what was even nicer was, for me, was New Day decides to get in there and try to start dancing. Well, HBK tries to twerk, and... I guess Mick Foley is trying to dance
alongside Big E.
And then Xavier Woods comes out and tries to get Stone Cold to dance. And Stone Cold starts moving side to side.
Oh, you knew what was going to happen there.
And then he breaks down, gives him a stunner. Freaking awesome. Loved every second of it. Couldn't have been better. So, but yeah, really nice to see. I kind of wish we'd see more of that in regular Raws or something, just to give us some sort of a spice or something. But
just something, and again,
spice it up, bring some intensity.
It's like I mentioned, it just reminds you about that joy you used to feel watching wrestling, just watching these cool characters and watching like just this attitude that they brought with them. And I hate to say it, I mean, it was great to see it, but it reminded you of what's missing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point, John. And, you know, it shows how well they play to the crowd and how the crowd plays to them. And yeah, yes, they got the bonus pop of actually coming back and all that. But even without that, I think they would still be over and be over big, because they know how to play to the crowd.
Right.
And they use the crowd. They use the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
The crowd is the... I don't know if you want to call it the third member of the, you know, of the ring, you know.
The audience is who decides what gets pop. Well, maybe we'll see later on how well the audience decision goes over. But yeah, I mean, you got to listen to your audience, because the less you listen to your audience, the more you keep listening to yourself, the more you keep seeing like ratings decline in Raw. The more you keep thinking that you're doing the right thing, that you're telling people what they want. I mean, the audience after a while is going to get a little upset, and
You know, and here's the thing. It's, are the wrestlers today faster? Yes. Are they, are their moves more extreme? Yes. Are there, are they more technically sound? Yes. If you go back and watch some of the old stuff, you'll go, wow, this is slow.
Oh, yeah.
The pace is, mm-hmm. is, it's completely different than it is today. But the thing that's missing is the audience enthusiasm. That interaction with the audience, getting the enthusiasm, the build,
yeah.
the love to hate for the heels, mm-hmm. and the love of the faces, you know, and yeah. watching them go up against each other. And it's just not there. They've become so technically sound and minded and about all about the rhythm and script of the match that they've lost the heart. So, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, there's so much we can go into.
Oh, but. I know. We could go on for days. But what's the next match, sir?
Right after that was the big hyped one, the Dean Ambrose-Brock Lesnar street fight match. No disqualification, weapons all over, which we got a couple kendo sticks and chairs.
You know, for me, I loved it, but I always like watching Dean Ambrose. Here's a guy who understands, I think, the crowd and understands the heart, and just understands how to be a complete lunatic, the lunatic fringe of American FM. Not to take a thing from EBN, but that's where he stole it from.
Oh yeah, we know him.
But yeah, he's you know, he's a great wrestler. He's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You know, and seeing and always seeing Brock Lesnar, the beast that he is, and seeing him in a hardcore match with Ambrose was entertaining to me. I don't know what you think, John.
Oh god, yeah, it was. It was definitely entertaining to watch. I mean, Suplex City came out. My final count was 13 suplexes to Mr. Ambrose. But that was the great thing about Dean, is Dean actually, the one thing he could say about this match was he proved that he is legitimately, like, a worthy competitor to Brock Lesnar. Like, everyone else we've seen Lesnar go up against.
He obliterates.
Yeah, we know that. And in the end of this match, I'm sorry, Lesnar wins, which I'll get to that later. But, no, I mean, Ambrose, what he brought to this match was the fact that this was probably the first of all the new talent that, you know, Reigns has gone up against that is a credible threat or has something new and interesting to bring to the table.
Yeah, you know, we've said it before, he has kind of the drunken master sort of wrestling style, and mm-hmm. and just being absolutely crazy, and it works really well, and, yep. and the crowd really digs it. And I'm not just saying that because he's a hometown kid from being from the Cincinnati area. He's actually really good at what he does,
and he's legitimately the best character WWE has on their roster right now.
Yeah,
I mean
all the injuries, absolutely. Right,
well, not even if he had like half of the injuries back. I mean, Dean is legitimately someone that plays well to the crowd, has unique moves, has a great persona. His interviews are hilarious. Like, his bits are great. I mean, this is a guy that needs the nurturing in WWE. And sad to say, they kind of blew it giving the win to Lesnar. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, we've seen Lesnar continuously win since he's debuted. I mean, it's getting old hat quickly, and we'll get into some other old hats that, you know, old hat trends that need to die here soon. But
and this was kind of a theme really of the night for a lot of the matches. Great matches, bad endings,
terrible endings.
Yeah,
terrible endings.
Yeah. So,
but and the other big news for the night. Lita came out and announced that there is no longer going to be a Divas belt. It is back to being the WWE Women's Championship belt. Thank God Almighty, the butterflies are fucking gone.
You finally got your wish, John.
Oh my God, I cannot be happier that the butterflies are gone. I'm serious. It was just, that was getting embarrassing. I mean, for all the stuff that they've been talking about, you know, making women's matches.
Yeah.
To be legitimately credible and, you know, just something that the audience wouldn't just say, oh, hey, it's another match, time to get bored and, you know, go refill my soda or whatever. No, they've been giving actual talent a chance, and that actually segues into our next one with Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte for the Women's Champion match. Feels good to say that.
No longer the Divas. I guess I was pleasantly surprised, but I kind of went in with low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for a women's match, it was, in a three-way match at that, it was you know, other than the ending, it was a good match, in my opinion.
Well, not only that, but, you know, for a triple threat match, I mean, it was pretty rapidly paced. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
Each of these women brought their A game. I mean,
yeah, there was no hair pulling, no slapping of the face, so to speak, like a cat fight or anything. It was legitimate wrestling, and yeah, the pace was pretty good, and the maneuvers and the planning of the entire match was really, really well done.
Yeah, and I think with the three competitors like these, that's the reason they got rid of the butterfly, because these are women wrestlers. They aren't, you know, divas. They're not trying to be on poster covers. They're trying to prove themselves as wrestlers. So, and they did that tonight. Each one of them, you know, deserves, I mean, the highest kudos from this.
Yeah. But you know, sadly, again, the ending, typical, Flair gets involved, Charlotte gets the win.
Yeah, Sasha gets the bank statement on Becky. She's about to put her in her submission, and Charlotte, you know, chucks Sasha out of the ring and puts Becky in the figure eight, and then as Sasha tries to get back in, there's Flair holding Sasha back, because that's the way all the pins and the submissions have gone, is like the second third someone's in trouble, there's the other person right there. I mean, it just, the timing was just so perfect from each of these women. They just but again, the other highlight was the fact that Becky actually halfway through the match took out Flair over the top rope.
That was at least somewhat satisfying.
Yes. That needs to happen more often.
You'd think he'd be used to taking the blows. I know he's old, but it was kind of nice. I mean, it would have been nice if he had stayed out cold, but
it would have. But you know,
it is what it is.
Right.
So,
all right, and then the other big hyped match of the night is Shane O'Mac taking on The Undertaker for control of Monday Night Raw.
Once again, outstanding match. Let's go right to the highlight of the match.
Oh my god, it's the highlight of the night.
You know, Shane O'Mac climbing to the top of the Hell in the Cell.
20 feet up of the Hell in the Cell. Yeah,
jumping 20 feet, which Undertaker rolls out of the way because Undertaker's laid out on the announcing table.
Position him on the table. You think Shane's going to like hit him?
Undertaker rolls out last second. He lands on the table, but still, holy shit. Was definitely a holy shit moment. I haven't seen anything like that since Undertaker threw Mankind off the top of it.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, you got to go back to like the 90s when seeing the pay-per-views on there meant you didn't know what you were going to see. You were
going to
see thumbtacks. You were going to see barbed wire. You were going to see whatever. They brought like a whole new level of brutality to the matches, and you know, you didn't see a terrible amount of that in this. I mean, it was kind of awkward pace here and there, but despite that, that was the highlight of the moment, was Shane taking that dive off there again, proving he will put himself through any limit.
Yeah, the boy has balls. I mean, here he every time, especially during WrestleMania, is like I've seen him in the past, he puts it all out there. And you can tell he puts it all out there. I mean, he brought back the trash can, you know, hitting Undertaker with it off the top rope, essentially, with a kick.
Yeah.
But yeah, that 20-foot fall, just absolutely amazing. I'm not sure there's not much else I can say about it other than that, but...
Well, just accept the ending.
Accept the ending, you know, again, kind of gets a nice little pat on the cheek from Undertaker after going through, falling 20 feet, and gets a tombstone.
And then Undertaker picks up the win again.
Yeah. Where does this go?
Yeah, where does this go? So everything that we have been saying pretty much since this podcast has started, the Monday Night Raw ratings are slipping. WWE creative team is blowing it big time. Shane O'Mac, when he appeared right after Fastlane, and
a big pop. I mean,
oh my god, it was amazingly huge. And then just everything you've heard since then is this big build-up to, you know, he's the revolutionary, he's going to bring the change, and then...
The breath of fresh air. Because people feel it. It's stagnant, man.
I hate to say it, we had, for the first time as fans, hope.
Yeah.
That his win would turn out...
This was where the creative team was going to start getting good. And this was going to be the catalyst.
I think they sensed their jobs were in danger.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
But in the end, all it was a big, big match for WrestleMania. I don't see, unless they do some dramatic writing for Raw tomorrow that I don't see what good this does for the long term of the company as far as writing and as far as trying to, I don't know, to save what's left,
I don't know, so to speak. It's just almost, you almost have to wonder, are they even trying to salvage anything?
It doesn't feel like it. Feels like it's the same crap over and over again.
I mean, we're giving the same undefeated people, you know, more wins. We keep giving Brock Lesnar wins. We keep giving Undertaker wins. We keep giving all these plot lines, and they always stall the plot lines we want to see happen. I don't know.
Well, it's even the people they push do not get over. I mean, it's always the surprise people that get over. Daniel Bryan, I don't think they were expecting him to get over with the fans, but he sure did. You know, and they didn't really push him that much.
That was the last time I think they actually listened was with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you know. It's, I don't know. But we'll talk more about people not getting over that they push here a little bit later.
All right, and then coming up next was the Andre the Giant Memorial match.
This was the reverse of everything else that we were talking about tonight. The actual Rumble itself, but the ending was at least different.
Yeah, I mean, well, aside from the fact that the people we watch come out, we get to see DDP coming out to the to the ring. We're like, whoa, this is cool,
right?
And then Shaq,
yeah, Shaquille O'Neal comes out at the very end. Him and Big Show kind of go at it, and as a result of them getting at it, they both get eliminated at the beginning by everybody else coming and pushing them over. So didn't do a whole lot, but kind of a nice little celebrity, you know, pop there.
Oh, damn. And one recognizable face in there, we all got to see Tatanka.
Or as I like to call him, Tatanka. He's put on some weight, but he still can move.
He still had all his moves there, which is pretty awesome to see.
Yeah.
And then what it devolved into is like the social outcast eliminating a lot of people, and we started to
groaning.
We started to get a little worried there because there's a lot of people they were eliminating, and it was getting bad. But in the end, the winner is Baron Corbett from NXT.
Yeah, new face, new blood. I like it.
That betrayed the entire theme of the night of giving a win to new bloods.
Yeah. You know? It was nice. It was very refreshing. Refreshing ending. If I had to go with endings and matches, it's probably the best match with the best ending. But
it's up there with Zack Ryder's.
Yeah, other than Zack Ryder's. But yeah, so.
And then we got a nice little segue moment with Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders come out. They do a dance, and then The Rock comes out with a flamethrower and ignites his name on fire.
Awesome.
Probably the coolest thing you will ever see is The Rock walking out live with a flamethrower.
Can't get any better.
Oh, yeah. And he comes out and he announces that there's like a brand new record attendance set tonight for WrestleMania. I think
101,726,
something like that.
36, maybe, something like that. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Wyatts come out for whatever reason.
They come out, too, because he's popular and...
Blah, blah, blah. Said, I accuse you of being a liar. And Bray Wyatt makes an amazing statement about someone in Hollywood lying. It's a shocking accusation. I've never heard that before.
Never. But it was cool is Rock basically made his own impromptu match with
Eric Rowan.
And 6 seconds later, after Rock Bottom gets the quick pin.
6 seconds. Sheamus' record of 18-second match at WrestleMania has been beat. Six seconds. And then, of course, they go to jump The Rock, all three of them, when John Cena
comes out, and they're able to, he comes to save the day, and he saves The Rock, and it's a big moment, obviously.
Yep.
You can figure out the rest from there.
Yep. All right, which brings us to our main event, with Stephanie dressed up like an 80s metal album cover queen.
The return of Scary Sherry would be a better estimation, or maybe Skeletor's wife. I can't tell.
She announces how the authority owns each and every one of us and rules over all of us, and I give to you my husband, Triple H, who, thank God, was not allowed to design a costume this year after last year's debacle.
But this was like a strange cross between Masters of the Universe / Mad Max.
It was like an Iron Maiden heavy, like cartoon heavy metal.
Yeah,
hybrid. It was kind of I don't know. I mean, Triple H's stuff gets more and more elaborate every WrestleMania. And
I think they were trying to go like 12 different directions at once. I didn't know what it was, but anyway.
And then, of course, Roman Reigns comes out and is promptly booed by everyone. Now, I don't know how the WWE channel is going to be changing this. I mean, they've been doing everything they can to, like, turn down mics and remove crowd chants. I mean, but no, there was clearly nothing but Roman sucks being right chanted all night. Yeah. Every hit that Roman got was met with a gigantic boo. I mean, it was, the match itself, I mean, at this point, we've been watching for nearly 6 hours.
Yeah.
We're bored. Yeah. We're tired.
I kept saying, let it end. It's just...
This is like our, ninth, tenth? I mean, it was pretty damn bloated.
Yeah, you know, and it was just boring. Was like, I've seen it. I've seen this before. It's a regular wrestling match. There's nothing added to it other than, you know, there's disqualification is included. There's no, you know.
I mean, and they did
For WrestleMania, I'm sorry, I expect more.
Yeah, and they did everything they could. I mean, they timed the match to basically feel like Roman was fighting against all odds, like Triple H was putting him in all these armbar submissions and everything, and Roman's shoulder was injured, he's beating the odds by doing this, and it didn't matter to anyone.
No.
It was amazing. I mean, it's just, this match drug on. I mean, that was the other thing too, the pace of it. They kept dragging it on to make it seem like Roman was going through the ringer, and no one cared.
No.
It was kind of surreal to watch. I mean, it's like, because you've had nothing, like, they've got this plot line, like, the authorities trying to keep Roman down, and the audience knows for a fact that that's not true, that the authority has, and by the authority, I mean, like, the actual WWE, you know, roster, has been, like, shoving Roman down our throats for God knows how long, and they're just
pretty
sick
much
of it.
2 years now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know he's related to The Rock and everything, but good.
Loosely.
Good Lord. Just give it a rest. It's not working. And now they have him as... And don't get me wrong. I actually think the title changing hands at the end was actually a good thing. Otherwise, it would have been all for naught anyway. So I was happy to see the title change hands from that perspective. At least it meant something. The match and the build-up meant something.
But I think Rome is just kind of a default at this point.
Yeah, you're going to end up, you now have a face, you know, or a proposed face that is not getting over with the crowds as your champion.
Right.
I don't know.
We're going to see it on Raw tomorrow night. I mean, when even JBL is going like, Roman's beat the odds, blah, blah, blah. And Michael Cole's going to come out, it's like, he defied the authority. And no one in the audience is going to care. He's going to get booed big time. He's going to get on the mic. He's going to have the worst mic skills again. And it's just going to be dull.
Yeah, it just doesn't give me much hope for what lies ahead, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, WrestleMania, this was... The theme tonight was, this is where stories went to die.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of said that before, but I guess it still holds true today. I would say what we saw tonight would be good enough for maybe a regular pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that would suffice as an
okay
pay-per-view. But
we're used to this kind of disappointment from other pay-per-views.
But as far as for WrestleMania especially, mm-hmm. I got to say it's probably... I'll say it's the worst one maybe in the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, maybe longer.
Which is sad because these were good matches. I mean, they were really great, or they had a lot of potential, and they went nowhere.
And they were squandered. Because
they were just wasted, because, honestly, I keep saying it every show we do, and I doubt anyone from WWE corporate or whoever is listening, but if you can get this message to them somehow, and I'm sure it's been parroted on every website everywhere, the creative team has to go.
Major
like, tomorrow, shame. Go. Like, send them back to NBC daytime to keep writing soap operas, because that's all they're good for.
I think they're good for that.
Oh, God. Their plot lines are awful. They're drug out. They know nothing about wrestling. It's just... what they're doing is they are killing the franchise with all of their writing.
Well, they're not even planning anything out. Like, it's all about the moment. It's all about that pay-per-view. There's no master plan for what's Raw going to be. Mm-hmm. How's this storyline going to go? There's no long-term storyline. It's all about, we're going to get to the pay-per-view, or I have the pay-per-view, and we'll figure out tomorrow is what it feels right. like. You know?
Right.
Sorry, that just doesn't do anything. That's not good enough to keep my attention or to keep me watching. Or
for that matter, I mean, if you're going to end a storyline, end it in a way that you feel something for it. Like, you feel like there's some sense that what you just watched. I mean, and again, 6 hours, WWE. You drug this show out for 6 hours plus, and this was the writing you gave us. This was how you ended your stories. This is not what you do to your fans.
Granted, you know, when I was younger, I would say 6 to 7 hours of WrestleMania. Hell yes, absolutely. Yeah. This is great. But I'm sorry.
We're grown-ass men.
Yeah, but, you know, quantity over quality does not work.
No.
So, in any circumstance.
Right.
So,
And Sunday nights, again, most of us have jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're trying to cater to, like, a younger crowd and everything, but the younger crowd's not buying this. You know, I mean...
It's obvious by the crowd.
It's obvious by the crowd, yeah. I mean, the rest of us, we're older fans that know the older WrestleManias, that know the fact that WrestleMania 2 blew that idea of having it in three separate venues at the time. I mean, we're audiences that don't have short-term attention spans. We remember what happened a few months ago.
Yeah. Again, I think the biggest message, if I had to give one to the WWE corporate, as well, and especially their creative team, find your heart again. And your heart is the audience that watches this stuff. Get your wrestlers to quit being so technically minded about the next move and actually pay attention to what the audience is giving you. Mm-hmm. Feed off of that. Work with that. Use that. And if you need somebody to help you, go find Hulk Hogan. There's no man in the world who understands how to work a crowd better than he does.
Mm-hmm. Or The Rock.
Is Hogan egotistical? Yeah. Is The Rock a little egotistical? Yes. But I'm telling you, they've earned it, and they know what they're doing. They understand how to get the audience behind them.
And I hate to say it, to the best thing that happened to Rock, and arguably even Hulk Hogan, it's a good heel turn.
Yeah.
And that is... excuse me. That is... excuse me, I'm still fighting my cold here.
Yeah.
that is the only thing that is going to save Roman Reigns right now, is a heel turn. Because that moment that he snapped and just started, like, just decimating Triple H out of just pure rage, that was the moment audiences were looking for. People were looking for something that would make Roman human, that makes him interesting, that makes him, you know, like somebody we'd want to watch. And then they did nothing with that moment. Like, it just
they squandered,
faded. And it just became the, I'm defying all odds to be the good guy again. It's like, no one cares. I'm sorry, Roman. I kind of feel bad for you because you work your ass off every day, mm-hmm. and no matter what you do, you get booed. I mean, you do like this awesome, gigantic swan dive off the top rope and take out like God knows how many people in the audience, and the audience chants, "You still suck." I mean, yeah,
it's bad, but that's not his fault though. That's what the writing behind him. He's not meant to have a good mic. Honestly, either Roman needs a really good manager, and they're not really good with picking good managers these days anymore. He needs something better suited to his talents on the mic, and being a heel probably more like a Game of Thrones villain almost.
Could you
work pretty well for him.
Could you imagine if Roman actually got to let loose on the audience? Tell them, like, you want to keep booing me? You want to boo everything I do? Imagine just, like, if he just let loose.
And that's, the corporate needs to come to the realization that it's time to move away from the G and the PG. And mm-hmm. it's time to go PG-13 again for a while.
Yeah, you teased us with chainsaws and barbed wire covered baseball bats that never got used.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew the chainsaw was going to get used, but geez, I mean, come on, at least the baseball bat.
Or at the very least, figure something out. Try something crazy, like putting a attitude show on your network where you can do stuff like that. Crazy thought, instead of giving us camp WWE, an adult cartoon show, how about giving us an adult themed
because you're giving us all
wrestling
these,
show.
You're giving us all these adult themed shows, and then when you actually come down to your actual wrestling shows, you keep telling us you're catering to kids. I mean, you've got like a DC Comics approach. Like you want to say that you're, you know, mature, and you know, or at least the DC Comics says, "Oh, we want to appear mature and like our stories are gritty and dark," but you have the mentality of children, whereas it's the other way around. You want to have stuff for children, but your bread and butter comes from when you're gritty and dark.
And think it through. You know, where's the... I hate to say this. Like I said, it's all about the heart. It's missing the heart. It's missing the...
The heart foundation?
Well, it's... Yeah, that too. But it's missing Stone Cold riding in on a Zamboni, for God's sakes, when he's in Canada. Stuff like that. Just crazy, off the wall. Get your fans into it. Get them excited.
I'm sorry. Dean Ambrose standing at the end of a parking lot with a garage door opening on him, he looks like Jason.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, Jason... Oh, but I take that back. Jason has more personality.
But anyway, just find your heart. Find it and find your audience. And by your heart, I mean find your audience and cater to them, please. But you'll get better ratings. I'll feed off of that when I watch it. It'll get me excited again.
Right.
That's how you generate your excitement. It begins with your heart, and your heart and your soul is your fans, and a.k.a. your audience that's actually watching it live.
Right, and when we're up, like, at the AMs after your six-hour event is over, recording these things, talking about our final thoughts and all that, we don't feel cheated out of the resolutions.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of which, let's get to final thoughts and grades. All right, John, what's your final thought and grade for WrestleMania?
I'm going to give it a C-, just because if this were a three-hour show, like if this had been like a previous WrestleMania where it wasn't this long, it would have been a B.
Okay.
I mean, even with the disappointing results, the matches we had were still incredible matches, even though they ended badly, and the only people that came out looking bad on this were the WWE creative team. I mean, each one of the wrestlers gave it their all, and nobody can take anything away from this. I mean, they all look great. I mean, they all had something to prove. I mean, in this time when everybody's on the injured list and they know it's their moment to shine, they brought their A game on WrestleMania and they made it an event. But as we were harping on all night, it was way too long. It was badly, you know, planned, and the wrong people won.
Yeah, opportunity squandered, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to say this. Everyone complains about the Oscars being too long. Holy fuck, this was two Oscar shows crammed into one.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, John. The quantity over quality was not the right direction to go. I'll go a little higher. I'll give it an actual solid C to C plus. Only again because basically what you said was because the wrestlers, the matches themselves, most of them anyway, were high intensity. They were out there. They understood it was WrestleMania, and they were at least trying. I think the reason why it's not a B plus even for me is the writing and the squandered opportunities and the continued. Bullshit and line of crap that the WWE creative team continues to feed us. For WrestleMania, I expect the best. This is supposed to be the best of the best of the best, and we've got nothing but the worst and the worst of the worst.
If anything, it's a great it's a great symbol for what WWE has become in that you have such great talent that's trying to prove themselves.
Yep.
And they are just being abused and wasted at the hands of a bad creative team that they should have been out years ago.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I understand that, you know, that it's a family thing and that Triple H is your son-in-law and all this stuff. But, sorry, that doesn't work for the fans, and it definitely doesn't. You know, I'm glad he's no longer the champion. He should have been left. He should never have been made champion to begin with, honestly. But I guess he didn't have any choice because of the injuries, but still.
And Sheamus just wasn't going over well either.
No, not even a little bit.
Do you have a favorite match for the night, though, or...?
I'm going to go with the Intercontinental ladder match. Was definitely the best match of the night. It was high intensity, great moves, awesome energy, and they ended it with a surprise move of Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder, yeah.
Which I think is long overdue. So from that perspective, kudos on that match especially. What was your favorite match, John?
You know, I got to give it up for the women. Okay. Because, I mean, even though I'm not a fan of keeping Charlotte the champion, I mean, she's a good heel, if not, you know, she's like the ultimate like superwoman. It's like trying to kill Arnold in the original Terminator. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, like I said, each one of these women brought their A game. I mean, the pacing and the timing and the creativity and the athleticism of each of them, I mean, it was like spot on for the entire duration of the match. And any one of them could have won by the end there, and I would have been happy because it was just so awesome. And again, kick off the night by getting rid of that butterfly belt and making them an actual women's champion.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think them actually creating a real belt, which in some ways looks better than the guys' championship belt now. So,
do you have a least favorite?
Least favorite, you know, I was just over here thinking about that, and I keep going back and forth, back and forth. You know, it's, I'm just going to say, I'll go ahead and do it. The championship match was probably my least favorite. I was expecting much from going in because the two people wrestling in it there were no good options. I mean, I was glad it changed. Like I've said, it was at least worth it because the title changed hands and at least we went through it for something, but... Mm-hmm.
It's funny you mention that, because it almost feels like election year. You got two people that you don't want to see in the prestigious position, but it's like, well, if I got to pick between these two...
Yeah, kind of, yeah. That would be my least, I guess. What was yours, John?
I got to go with that one, too. I mean, when your main event title match reminds me of presidential elections... Yeah, you get a big middle finger from me there, WWE. I mean, nothing against Triple H. I mean, the guy's awesome.
Nothing against Roman Reigns as far as wrestling either, but it was slow.
Just the story they gave it, too. I mean, that just... And again, it's just so surreal to watch all this planning, all this build-up, all this setup for this match. The announcers doing everything they can. I mean, normally we're used to seeing Michael Cole and Byron, you know, get behind the baby face, and Roman or JBL just like, oh, well, you know, the heels are the ones, you know, they're justified or whatever. Does his old JBL shtick. And mm-hmm. No, even JBL is, you know,
pumping up
Roman Reigns. It was just,
yeah,
they're doing everything they can to sell Roman, and just the audience just, oh my God, it was surreal to watch all the boos and the downright anger because this is one of those moments like where you could tell you're being forced to like somebody. It's like when an audience sees a movie that they're told they have to feel a certain way and they're going to reject it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what else. I have nothing else to say. Other than, where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us on iTunes by typing in the number 4 Midwest Guys. Also, leave us a review if you like us and just make it awesome. Also, you can find us on Stitcher, OneCast, just about any other online app that we have out there. If we're not, let me know and I'll make sure that we're at it. You can find us on Twitter. Twitter quest continues. We're almost just shy of 900 followers on the main site now. I know Ankle Bauer is well over 1,000. And you can reach myself at bwilly1977, or you can reach the 4 Midwest Guys, which I prefer, just reach out to us at the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can also, Mr. Ankenbauer is in here, but you can also reach him at Ank Zone. Also, you can reach us on Facebook.com/4MidwestGuys and also via email, number4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. So there are lots of ways to get a hold of us. There's lots of ways to reach out to us. If you guys have questions and comments about wrestling or any other of the podcasts that we do, please let us know. We would love to put your questions on air with us, and we will definitely credit you with a question, and we'll do our best to give you the best answer that we can. And also let us know if you love us, if you hate us, if you like what you hear, what you don't like what you hear. Let us know. We're out there. We're also on YouTube now as well. You can find us on YouTube. We're starting to put podcasts on YouTube as well. So look for all that, and there's plenty more to come down the pike as well. Mr. GZ, thank you for joining us, sir.
Always a pleasure. Now I'm off to go let my throat heal and get some rest.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. And for B. Willie saying, let's keep the faith out there, I guess, and then until the bell rings, we'll see you next time.